Malang Tabela, hello, welcome to the SL Cabinet, your go-to weekly news wrap. My name is Kwena Mashale, and as always, I'm joined by my colleagues, Nandi and Nandintini and Herman Malloy.
Hi guys.
New week, same energy. We're bringing you the top stories, sharp analysis, and a few surprises along the way. Stay tuned as we break it all down. Let's get right into it. So this week was the State of the City address as well as the State of City debate, right? So the Joburg Mayor, Dada Morero, basically received a couple of mixed reactions from political parties about his State of City address. And he did point out, obviously, the usual things that we all look for in an address, the electricity. He talked about how it won't be risen a lot. He talked about how there will be a prioritizing the people of Joburg, and that the budget will be fully, like, you know, for the people at the end of the day, right? But obviously then the debate happened the next day, which was on Thursday, and a lot of people were for the mayor's state speech. They were supporting it, they clapped. If anything, they were praising him for his leadership, while the DA obviously were not. So let's go back to Wednesday. So on Wednesday, the DA basically put forward a no motion of confidence to the mayor as well as the speaker, Umthembu. I think I forgot her name, but the speaker's surname came Thembu. So essentially, there was no more motion of confidence for the Joburg mayor as well as the Joburg speaker. And the DA felt like as if there was no accountability, there was no recommendations made. Remember, at some point, there was the whole Kompepe commission for the Usindiso thing. Again, they felt that that was also not the recommendations made. They were not put forward and they were never addressed. So that's one of the reasons why they did a no motion of confidence. And that motion of confidence was hours. It was just literally like an hour before the mayor had made his speech. So obviously, the debate comes forward and everybody is going not only for the leadership of the mayor, but they're also saying basically that at the end of the day, the DA, what the DA did was nothing short of cowardly, as well as the fact that they were actually trying to hide behind the facade of accountability. However, the DA came to the stand again while on the debate, and the DA caucus leader of Joburg, Belinda, says that at the end of the day, the mayor told us in his speech to not poke holes in his whole address, but we will poke the holes. Let's take a listen to that clip.
The Democratic Alliance in the city of Johannesburg notes the State of the City address delivered by the executive mayor yesterday, Councillor Dada Morero. The mayor said we must not poke holes in his speech. Well, Mr. Mayor, we tried very hard. However, you left us no option but to raise serious concerns. Madam Speaker, we must express our profound concern at the ongoing failure of governance, the lack of transparency, and the questionable administrative practices that continue to undermine this city's ability to deliver quality services to our residents. Madam Speaker, we know yesterday the mayor said we should not poke holes in his speech. The mayor's speech, unfortunately, has no tangible solutions. It's only pie in the sky promises and shows that he's completely out of touch with the city that he leads. What we heard yesterday was not a reflection of the realities facing our communities. It was a speech filled with lofty ambitions, lacking substance, accountability, and constitutional integrity. We are deeply troubled, Madam Speaker, by several pressing issues that were ignored or deliberately glossed over in the mayor's address.
That's just one of the backgrounds, right? After that, after everyone had their chance to kind of hash out what they wanted to say, the mayor came back to the stand and he reacted to everybody's debate. And the mayor, let me put this quite like as nice as I can say, the mayor criticized the DA. He criticized not only the DA in Johannesburg, but he criticized the DA in Cape Town as well. He basically says that it is unfair to compare Cape Town to Johannesburg, especially considering that when those comparisons are made, the DA tends to frown. Let's take a listen to that clip as well.
Soccer made the call that we must focus on Johannesburg we want to see. Let us focus and respond to the people of Johannesburg. We need to go beyond our political interests and respond to the people of Johannesburg. Yesterday, business, government, and civil society gave me feedback that they are in support of the direction presented in SOCA. Madam Speaker, before I may sit down, it is not in our interest to compare ourselves. We are in the business of benchmarking against the best in the world. It is not fair to constantly compare with what some say it's where they govern. Because when the truth is then said about where they govern, they then frown. Madam Speaker, one city in South Africa with 4.8 million inhabitants accounts for two worlds. Those who come from an ethnic group represented by the councillor from the Zikebe, will tell you that when we land in the airport, they will ask you, you want a taxi to Ekapa, noma Ekita, because it represents two worlds in one city.
Guys, what are your thoughts in all general? Like, I mean, with the political parties, with the DA, with what, with the state of the city address and everything else. Nandi, let's start with you.
Okay, but honestly, now just to... I think it's just a blaming game since the GNU began. Mm. Like, no one wants to take accountability. But as for that, I'm not a fan like you are, Gwena.
I'm not a fan.
Gwena. But his argument was, okay, you can't compare Cape Town and Joburg.
Mm.
Like,
but why?
Like, as I was telling Gwena, listen, when you leave the Cape Town airport, I forgot where this, but on the way, not far from the airport, on Kailich. The way, there's Kailich, their informal settlement. Mm. And for them to compare Joburg and Cape Town, we are more or less the same. It's just that Bona, they give more work on their more established areas so that we forget about Kukuletu and Kailich. And Tinage, Joburg, it's just the forefront and it's messed up.
No, but
that's it.
But guys, also, comparison is good so that you check your pace. So, okay, where am I? And yeah, you mentioned that they have informal settlement and everything. Joburg has also like 300 informal settlement.
Yeah.
Cape Town has 500 or 600. Yeah, somewhere there. So it's worth comparing. Mm. So, okay, what are you doing? We are not saying Cape Town is good in a way, but we're saying it's better compared to Joburg. I mean, no one wants to live in Joburg, honestly, unless those are brothers and sisters.
No, but I think I agree with Nandi on this one. I think in this case, when you want to debate, when you want to come to the city, state of city address and debate how your political party governs better, and then the prime example you make is about Cape Town, then that's not really a good example to me.
But then, guys, let's not even go to Cape Town. Let's go to the recent report that suggested that Tshwane is the safest place. They compared Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, and Joburg.
Mm.
So it's the same thing. You're just comparing and seeing the pace that you are. So if you then say, don't compare with me with the best, I'm not saying Cape Town is the best.
Yeah.
That means you don't have ambition to reach the highest point.
At this point, then in Joburg, we don't have that ambition because every day we are deteriorating.
You
raise a good point. I mean, but we're still struggling with the Zamas who are stealing cables.
Every
same month, Same day, power goes out at some the same location.
It's no longer a conversation. It's from the heart.
But I'm just saying.
Helen, stop it.
Helen, just stop it. Point is, guys, at the end of the day, I agree with both of you guys. I mean, I'm mostly disappointed with the political parties who kind of praised Udada. They praised him on things where... Hey, guys,
it's nice to have blue lights and have a salary that is coming in, like sitting. You saw how staying here. I'm not saying anything.
Yes.
I mean, with the whole GNU thing, ANC has pushed the point whereby you thought DA will say, you know what,
yeah, that's we're enough. Going.
But no, because of blue lights, because of the lifestyle they are living now. So that's why I think they praised Udada Moreira because they are benefiting.
If you're at the receiving end, why not?
MMC, why not? We benefited. People are benefiting.
Oh, wow, guys. Okay, guys, moving on to sad news. This has been making headlines, right? For like since the story broke, thanks to Nandi. Nandi, I think I'm going to let you introduce this one to yourself. Take it, Miguel.
On a third part in Pimville, Soweto. So we had UJ boys. Honestly, I don't know what they were thinking, but this is what happened on Tuesday. So no, on Wednesday, the people from Musi High were the 18-year-old Mcebo Biela was brutally murdered by these five UJ students. So apparently these UJ students were drinking a night before at this outside race. And then the security chased them out in the morning saying you can't drink in this yard, blah, 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 the rules and all of that. So they sat on the grass, chilled, drinking. Then around 4 when the school bus, you know, those school buses then was dropping off the other kids. So as they were dropping off the other kids, these boys... drunk and all of that, entered the bus saying, bus driver, please take us around. We want to go buy alcohol and we just want to know how this bus feels like.
Okay.
The kids inside the bus said, no, we want to go home, Tina. We want to go home. And then they started teasing these school kids, taking their beanies, you know, doing that thing on the face, just rubbing their face. And then the bus driver managed to kick them out. So the bus drove fast forward and then they were like, no, we want our beanies back.
So the kids went back to the guys.
Yeah, they went back to the guys to want their beanies back. So there was a little commotion, that fight. And then in that midst, so these people ran away.
Yeah.
They followed, the varsity boys followed. That's when they
beat.
Yeah, they beat Mcebo with a baseball bat.
Why is that guy baseball bat? Okay, that's not important. But go on.
Baseball bat, they stabbed his stomach. The last one was the cut on the throat. So it's just that.
Oh my
and
gosh.
He's the only one that was hurt, this 18-year-old, apparently. And even the caretaker was like, did they really have to get inside the bus? Because they could have just let the bus went. Because they know they're used to this bus. Because today, they are intoxicated. They want to... bully the school kids.
So Mindy, this whole thing happened on a Wednesday.
On a Tuesday night. Tuesday afternoon.
Tuesday afternoon in the night.
And
so I just want to make sure I'm summarizing the current events properly. They get on the bus drunk, demanding that the bus driver take them out for a spin of a ride. From there, the bus driver obviously manages to get them out, but they leave with the students' beanies.
Yes.
Obviously, now the students say they want their uniform back. So they go back to where they saw these students, which is at this res.
Yes, at this res.
Now, where at that res, there's a little commotion again. But now, these most majority of these students, they realize, they kind of overpower these drunk guys. So they run away. The drunk guys chase after. And they catch one of them being
Yes.
And then, let me get this straight. While they're running... they have the baseball and the knife.
Yes, and the bottle.
And
I think they were drinking, so they used that bottle.
As a knife.
As a knife.
Wow.
To stab.
Yeah. I don't think they were drunk. I don't know. Somehow they should have sobered up. I think one of them should have sobered up to realize what the hell they did was completely out of line.
Apparently, the one that stayed at the res, because the other four were not from that res, came back to the caretaker, "Mama, mama, please give us a phone. Something happened. We want to call an ambulance." So I think that's when everything was like, okay.
When they saw him lying on the ground, yeah, bleeding heavily and after being beaten and stabbed.
The way he was beat, his face was, yeah, only the family could tell, okay, this is our son.
And you spoke to the father. What did the father say?
Yes, I spoke to the father. You know, Zulu men, they don't cry, ne?
Yeah.
You know, they have that, but there was a time where he just kept quiet and he kept on wiping tears off his face. He was like, I had to tell his mother and I don't know how to explain how the boy died.
So, hey,
How old is Biela and in which grade?
He was doing grade 11, he was 18.
So, is it confirmed? I know you said others don't come from the threats, but is it confirmed that all of them who attacked Biela and his classmates or fellow pupils, are they university students?
Oh, yes, it was confirmed by the caretaker, the university itself, and because they had to now protect the other students, because the one that was arrested, because two were arrested, one is from that prison and the other was from inside campus, so he ran, and then that's when they got him by the security, yeah, the UJ security services.
And what is UJ saying about the whole thing? Are you kind of aware of which level are they in? Are they first years, second year?
So according to the caretaker, I'll just speak according to the caretaker, as these are first-time students. So
first year?
Yeah, first-year students, because, yeah, it's just their first year. Apparently they come from Eastern Cape.
Condolences to the family, Biela, but in a way, if you say they are first years, obviously they have not experienced the lifestyle of varsity. Because varsity is the most amazing thing that can happen to yourself.
True, him.
And to go and fight after drinking, it's the most irresponsible thing you could do as a person. I mean, we can say, okay, yeah, maybe you can say.
Mm.
But most of us, we did drink go first days and everything. And we were even scared sitting outside drinking, obviously thinking, I'm in a new place. What will people say? You have crashes that you are thinking of. So yeah, I don't know, Joe. I'm just trying to
There's no excuse.
Honestly.
Hence I said I don't want to defend them.
But I'm not saying you are, but the manner in which you are putting it forward. We did our car over
your No, I'm not defending them.
We were all drinking in high school. Yes. We all never went to beat somebody's kid up.
That's why you should get
it. It's tavern behavior.
Hence I'm saying I'm failing to understand what is it that could have led to things escalate to that point?
Yeah.
And it's not something that you can justify, obviously.
There's nothing.
Yeah, I'm not even trying to justify anything. I'm just trying to get a sense of what they might have thought at the time.
Mm.
Because, I mean, you saying they were taking beanies and everything. That's kind of bully behavior that we tolerated in school.
Exactly.
But when you reach varsity, I'm mature enough to bully people. So if we have people who still think that way, it's quite embarrassing.
It's definitely embarrassing, especially on EUG on their end as well. For them to just say they condemn. Institutions matter.
What can they do?
And they even think, they said, no, we can't even sit with the Musi High pupils because we are afraid of being booed by them. Let's call a spade a spade.
The people who did the messed up thing is this true student. We can't blame institution.
We're not
because
blaming.
despite them being students of UJ, they still did it. Mm. And they didn't do it wearing a brand or whatever. Mm. Yeah, we were just concerned because, I mean, it's supposed to accommodate them and it's linked to the university.
But it's not a private, it's a private.
Yeah, it's a private, so it's outside.
We know who do la banaba UJida.
Yeah, hey guys, let's. It's a sad story, honestly. It's a very, very sad story. So moving on to another sad story. News broke out that two bodies believed to be that of journalist Sibusiso Ndlovu as well as his partner Zodwa Mdluli were found, right? Where the location is still kind of privy to us, but it was found kind of in the between the two provinces of Limpopo and Gauteng. And essentially, the couple has been missing for, I think 90-something days. They were reported missing on February 18, and they were discovered, their bodies discovered yesterday. Obviously, the police says that they need to still do a couple of more DNA tests to confirm, but they do believe it's the bodies of the two journalists. Let's listen to the, National Commissioner, Lieutenant General Fani Masemola on that.
Yeah, I just got a report now while standing here behind the minister that there is two remains of people found in the bushes somewhere in Rusty Fender. So whether it's them or not, we are not sure, but of course, pointing out let us where we are now. We will do the necessary processes in terms of DNA with the families and the remains that we found to check and confirm whether it is them or not.
So the deputy minister, right, who in presidency, Kenny Murulong, condemned the brutal murder of the journalists, calling it a senseless, barbaric, and brutal attack of a brute attack of violence. And she went on to just emphasize how Ndlovu contributed to the democracy, how he shared his work through media, and basically doing sort of a bibliography. Is it a bibliography or is it? It's just basically talking about his life and what he had contributed to the media industry. And I think I don't want to say this as a bad thing, but I think majority of us, I think maybe in the second week of them having gone missing, you know, you don't presume the worst, but at the same time, you just kind of know in certain situations. I think we all hoped that they will be alive, but I'll speak for myself, in the second week going in, and there was no sign at all. There was no kind of, you know, ransom. There was no indication of something, an update. Even when the family, I think they did a whole media briefing of asking people to just come forward. They even released the ransom. Nandi, thoughts?
I remember the 2 weeks back, is that I doubt they're still alive.
Yeah, we talked about it 2 weeks back, and we were like, yeah.
But that family member, what is he saying? The one that's suspected to be related to the family?
I'm not sure.
One of the four suspects.
I would be lying to you. Hey, I haven't really been keeping an eye on this one for a very long time. I've just heard the news. I'm not sure about what the family related suspect said. But I do know that when Masimula was talking yesterday, he says that the one suspect who was arrested among them is the one that pointed out the location of the bodies. So, and a source close to a colleague of ours told them that there's a minor within this group of those who were arrested, and the minor had already spoken that the two were already dead about a week ago.
Sure.
So this is alleged.
It's a scary one. I mean, if you look at it, when the whole family briefing happened, the family said it might be linked to the work that he was doing at that current time with the particular notorious group in Mamelodi. And yeah, when a ransom was issued and no one came forth with any details of the whereabouts, I'm sure the things are bad. And I remember I read before the whole Fanny Masemola briefing yesterday, I read a News 24 article whereby they saying a source revealed that these people were shot. So it was like, okay, sharp. And even how the police handled it. I mean, with the three missing corpses, remember Umati, when not even rumors were made, she was like, no, guys, let's not jump to conclusions. We still need to confirm details and everything.
That's not
but yesterday it was all quiet to show you that very, very we know it happened.
Yeah.
The DNA thing is just a formality. But you can see, it's bad.
It's bad.
Yeah, and I mean, if it's linked to his job, what did it say to us?
Yeah.
I mean, what are we supposed to make of it?
I think in its sense, as journalists, I think we do have a difficult job. I mean, you see it with the whistleblowers who are journalists. Sometimes just your normal journalists are reporting on certain things. They are threatened half the time. Hemen was threatened at some point himself. So it's not funny, guys. It's a scary thing. It's a very, very scary thing. And sometimes you laugh it off, really, because you're like, that's why I won't do anything. Kind of a, you know, how many times does Hemen report on criminal cases who are all dangerous? And sometimes they come to him and like point him in the face and they're like, hey, son. And it's like you like, okay, I'm doing my job. You know that there will be people out there who don't appreciate you doing your job, who are against you. I mean, I was doing the case, the guy, Ruben Gumbi, who was shot. And the family member says that this man, there's literally what's the guy who people who go killing people? There's a Ngavi who's literally threatening journalists. And I went there one day and this man bumped me and he told me, be careful. I didn't take it very much serious. And you move on because you're like, okay. And you move on and you continue with your story. But it's like you work with certain cases and people, and sometimes the editors even tell us, be careful, you know? But you never think it's going to happen to you. I think that's what I'm getting to.
But, sorry, you were saying?
No, go on.
But lately with me, like, I kind of get scared now because even yesterday when I was in court, this guy gave me a look and you were like, okay, why are you giving me that look? Why are we fighting? Why are you giving me? So, yeah, Joe, our work is very dangerous. But at the end of the day, Kiona Eputang prayed on the table. Yeah. So you have to do it either way. Oh, condolences to the family again. I mean, we have done two condolences now.
It's very, very sad, guys. Hi, guys, moving on. Hemen, please take this one.
Yesterday I was in court for the trial of Ora Sinkuna. Most people know him because he's alleged to have killed the daughter of EFF deputy president, Godrich Gadi. It's alleged that he confessed to murdering Hilary Gadi. So yesterday, basically, it was the IO testifying in another matter that he's alleged to have committed. So it's alleged that in March 2022, he called this couple to say, I found your car that has been missing for like 2 years now, and I need to meet you somewhere so that we can go to the police because it's impounded by the police. And then that's when they met in Benoni. As they were driving in Benoni, he then instructed them to go and go to the field, and mind you, at the time you have a 1-year-old and a 6-year-old in the car. So when they got there in the bushes, that's where this guy killed the couple because he wanted the car keys of the previous car. So as he shot the couple, the 6-year-old says, "I was watching. I was literally in the car." Watching as my mom goes down and then my father after that. Sure. And then this guy has the audacity to take us and put us in the next to a freeway where he told us that he will come and fetch us and take us home. And that's when a good Samaritan came and took them to a police station. That's where they said everything. And this guy, this boy, the 6-year-old, had to go through identity parade to identify the suspect. And that's when he identified Unkuna as the suspect. So basically, that's a summary of the court case.
Yeah, it's been a tough week. And then the thoughts.
So, Obabega on the highway, I'm coming back.
Yeah, I'm coming,
Nothing is happening, nothing is wrong.
Like I didn't kill your parents. I'm coming. Trust me, I'm coming back. It's like that.
And the 6-year-old, he probably remembers everything and he's gonna remember it.
He still has a clear picture of what happened that day.
And it's like, I'm even thinking about the fact that the, when the guy says he's coming, the 6-year-old probably thought, okay, he's coming back to kill me now as well.
But they say it was raining and this guy, this boy, Usikye, waited. And when he saw this guy is not coming back, that's when like he took the baby daughter, the 1-year-old. And then they tried to make their way until this guy who was driving along the N12. Stopped and asked, hey guys, why are you on the street?
Well, it was raining.
While it was raining. But yeah, it happens in South Africa.
You know, someone said on the Twitter, South Africa, you live by mistake and you die by default. I think that's how we're going on at this point.
Just to touch on something, I'm not sure if you mentioned it. Hey, Sandy F, it's weak. Have you seen the trending videos? Those people don't play, Chief. They'll kill you.
What are they don't play, shame, guys? That's actually next to our quick takes, guys, while we are here, right? So, yeah, quick takes. Firstly, VIP, I think it's 8 VIP police have been acquitted by the SAFs. 8 VIP protection services. I think we all remember them. They were caught on a video brutally beating up these. I think it was one boy who actually at some point fainted. They have been acquitted in regards to SAPS eternal disciplinary hearings. And even before that, it's not even alleged. Ian Cameron, police chairperson, says, not police committee chairperson, says that they even were back at work 3 months after they were suspended during the incident. So they were still working through this whole eternal process. And he says 2 years have been wasted due to this thing. And what's funny enough is that he feels like it was just a sham and it was rigged. Yeah. Moving on.
Money talks all along.
You know what? You said it, Herman. I didn't say it. Let's go on, guys. So, three people who had the guts to go to a Tabantu. Tabantu in Tshwane, right? Yes. A military base. They had the guts to try to steal a car. And when they got there, they were met with a force. I must say, a force in pajamas and slippers.
Yeah, that takes a cab.
Yeah, sure.
And he was like, hey, when I want him, but ML. Why are you punishing me? Why are you body shaming me?
And then stepping.
I was like, why are you body shaming me?
Guys, I think my thing is that why did they choose a military base?
No, this guy, if you see the other one, this guy is, it's what we do, we steal cars.
Like, wow.
You can steal cars everywhere, but why would you want to steal a car on a military base?
We saw 3 cars and we are like, sham.
Where they hide?
You have to get those. You know?
I must say the most powerful image there was the military officer wearing full on pajamas that's got a sleeper with an AK-47 waving it around and demanding answers. He did not come out to play. He just heard there were people on the military base doing what? I'm betting straight.
No, I'm trying to picture the scene before.
So you have your guy. No, he was not sleepy. You know those kind of dads who wear slippers and have coffee while reading a newspaper. Oh, yeah. So they tell him, "Reggie,
sitting outside."
And he said, "I'm going." I took his gun. When he got there, he body shamed.
It's the fact that they stripped them, even guys. They were naked, eh?
What are they doing?
Yeah. and this one tries to approach, and the other soldier says, "Don't move." And this one, the pyjama guy, says, "Hey, go up on time."
They messed with the certainly the wrong place. Hey guys, while we're on that, guys, the derby has arrived. So sorry to Herman. Unfortunately, Sundowns is not there. Mm. But Kaizer Chiefs versus Pirates, it's going down.
Yeah. Are you selling tickets now? It's going down.
Don't allow bitterness. Don't be bitterness.
There are people who are fully ready for this game, guys. There are people who even bought accommodation, flight, and rented out a car for 15K, but do not have a ticket in sight. So, I must say, that is another dedication. This man says, "I will find the ticket there. Me, as long as I'm in the province, I'm in the vicinity, he will be fine." And it's like, and the thing is, the authorities are warning them, do not come if you don't have a ticket.
But you know what, Joe? I don't want to lie to you, Nee. It's a culture that we are being introduced to when we get to stadiums, especially on big matches. Now, the system here, you have ticket for. It needs to change or upgrade. Because sometimes when you go there, they tell you, "No, your ticket is a screenshot. We can't scan it." And at the end of the day, it's Friday. At the end of the day, you find people like entering for free. And those people who have tickets are standing there, standing at the queue. So these people, they know, okay, this thing happens. It happened in FNB one time when I went, it happened to at Luca Loftus. So it's a culture that you are being introduced to, whereby people know that if you have a big game, ticket really don't mean
nothing.
So I like to believe those people are going there with that impression. You know what? We're gonna get there and cause a stampede, and once the stampede is erupts, we go in. That's what they normally do. But yeah, Joe, I'm just worried about their safety.
I was about to say, guys, safety. We
have an Ellis massacre that happened between, it was a match between Pirates and Chiefs. Yeah. So I'm just worried about their safety. I just hope everything goes well.
Can they get over excited?
It's so far. I think everything said, Herman said the important thing, guys, be safe. When you go to the derby, be safe.
Even the derby only. We know that some people will be drinking tomorrow.
Yes.
Will be watching with friends.
Alcohol poisoning is real, guys. Alcohol poisoning is real. Don't drink and drive. Stay alive. Hashtag arrive alive, guys.
Don't drink and walk. It's a new law.
Okay, guys, don't drink and walk as well.
Go and check status out. Easter. There are people who are arrested
for drinking and walking.
They call it joywalking.
Oh, shit.
Go and check the stats.
While Heaven checks the stats, let's wrap it up. That's all for this week's news wrap. Remember that you can find our latest podcast, review, and subscribe for free on Ayono FM, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. You can also find us or follow us on all social media platforms at SoInten Live. This podcast is a Times Live production, and our producer is the lovely Demi Buzo. Don't forget, you can also have a listen to our other podcasts, Sunday Times, Politics Weekly, Taking the Rams by the Horns, Business Day Spotlight, The Indigenous Corner with Gogo Zippo, and Deeply Rooted. Thank you for tuning in. Join us again next week for more updates on the bigger stories from me, Gwena, and my colleagues, Nandi and Herman. It's a wrap.
Bye. 12 Palestinians.
Right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you.